And this morning we continue our Unleashed series. And last week we talked about, what did we talk about last week? Repentance, that's right. Repentance unleashed, walking with a humble heart. And as the Spirit of God brings things to your attention of things you need to repent from, that you would go and whether it's to an individual or to God or to whoever it might be, a parent, a child, a friend, a coworker, your boss, whatever it might be, that we walk in repentance. Repentance needs to be unleashed in our lives, that there's no restraints in that, that we wouldn't become hard in our hearts and say, well, I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to do that. That we would be the opposite of that and that we would repent. If you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to grab the CD so you can get today. Today, the coin we're talking about, one side was repentance, which is last week, and then today is forgiveness, which is the other side of that coin. Those two go hand in hand. So I'd encourage you, if you weren't here last week, grab the CD, listen to it online, whatever, that you could understand, you could get both sides of this. But we want the unleashed theme is basically saying, God, here am I, no restraints, no limitations, just you. And now come and do what you want to do in my life. We are, as believers in Christ Jesus, we are forgiven. We are set free. Amen. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And so positionally, that's who we are. In that work of sanctification, sometimes we stumble, we fall, we get off track sometimes. And we don't want that to happen. We want God to be unleashed, that God's will, God's thinking, God's heart would be our will, our thinking, and our heart. That when people see us, they see God. When they see Jesus, Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. And that was because God, the Father, was unleashed through him. Jesus is our perfect example of what that is to look like. And that's who we are to emulate. That's who we are to become. God is, as his desire is to mold us into the image of Jesus. And so we want God to be unleashed in our life. We want God to be unleashed in this church. Amen. We want God to be unleashed in this church. And what would that look like if God unleashed himself through Lincoln Christian Fellowship, not just this building, but through the people of this? What would that look like? I mean, it would probably look a little messy. It'd probably look a little different than what we maybe think in our, cookie cutter world. We want God to be unleashed in our families. What would it look like for God to be unleashed in your family? It'd be amazing, wouldn't it? What about in our schools, now that school's back in session, but in school, what about in our workplace? In our neighborhood, for God to be unleashed in our government, for God to be unleashed in Congress, for God to be unleashed across this nation. Well, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? That'd be awesome. God wants to do that, and he wants to do it through us. If God's going to be unleashed in our neighborhood, it's going to happen because God is going to be unleashed in you. If we want God to be unleashed in this church, it's going to happen because you're going to say, God, I'm going to let you be unleashed in my life. I'm going to unrestrain you in my life. And when we do that, then God becomes unleashed in this church. This morning, we're going to be talking about forgiveness unleashed. Forgiveness unleashed. Let's pray and jump right into this. Father God, we want forgiveness to be unleashed in our life. Give us understanding of that this morning. Just lead us and guide us. Holy Spirit, come and speak through me. Not my words, but your words, Lord. Lord, may they fall on soft ears, soft hearts, and a spirit that's willing to obey. As you lead and guide us. Lord, may this not be a wasted time, but may it be an eternal time as we invest into your word. We invest into your leading. Be unleashed in Jesus' name. The church said, turn to Psalms 103. Psalms 103, as you're doing that, allow me to give to you the definition of forgive. Forgive means to excuse from a fault, offense, or a debt. Forgive means to pardon, release, let loose from something. So if I'm going to forgive you or forgive somebody, I'm going to let loose from any claim that I have. I'm going to release from. If I forgive somebody of something, it means that I let go of the claim that I have against them. If somebody has offended me, done me wrong, and it's clearly wrong, we're not talking about, was it really wrong? Say that somebody did something really, really wrong. If I'm going to forgive them, then it means I'm going to let go of the claim of that offense. Now, how do I know I've done that? I know that I have forgiven when I no longer bring that thing back up. That's when I've let go. Now, if somebody has offended me and done me wrong, and whenever I'm hanging out with my friends and I start talking about what this person did, then I haven't released that claim that I have. I haven't forgiven. If when that person's name gets brought up, I'm like, oh, well, don't go over there and do that because that guy, you know, he's a loser. He's whatever. This is what he did to me, and this is what he, whatever. I haven't forgiven. I haven't released. I haven't pardoned. I haven't let go. And that's what the word forgive means. Now, God has forgiven us, amen, through Christ this morning. If you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you, if you've confessed your sins before God, his word says that he has forgiven us. So Psalms 103, familiar, famous verses, verses 10 and 11. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Say amen. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. Say amen. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. God has not treated us as though we deserved. Our sins, our unrighteousness deserve death and punishment and the judgment of God be poured out in our life. But because God is rich in mercy, because God in his loving kindness, because God who is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to know Christ, God in his divine sovereignty says, I want you to be saved. I want you to be forgiven. I don't want to pour out my wrath upon you. But if you don't repent, then that's what has to happen. Because there must be punishment for sin. There must be punishment for sin. And so God says, if you will come to me and confess your sins before me, I will forgive you in my loving kindness and in my mercy. I will not pour out my wrath upon you because I've already poured out my wrath on my son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when he hung on the cross, he bore our sins. He bore our iniquities upon him. The punishment that he received was the weight of all of the sins of humanity upon him. All of your sins were placed upon God through on Jesus, and God the Father punished the Son, Jesus Christ, perfect and blameless, sinless in and of himself. But he bore your sins and my sins. And he did that so that he could pour out his forgiveness upon us. That we are forgiven in the eyes of God, which means God has let go of the claim that he has over us. God takes our sin and he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness, right? There's one speaker, Mark Gunger, who says, does that mean that God has Alzheimer's? You know, like, there's something about you I don't like. What is it? I can't remember what it is, you know? No, God remembers. He knows the sin. He doesn't forget the sin, but he doesn't hold it against us. So when we stand before God and we're judged, all of our deeds are written down in the book, Revelation, all of our deeds. You'll be held accountable for everything that you do. All of your deeds are recorded. They are there. They're not just like, oh, I forgot. What was that one thing that he did? No, they're there. There's a record of it. There's an account of your name, and you've been accredited as unrighteous. But through Jesus Christ, you have been accounted as righteous. So over those deeds is the blood of Jesus Christ. The result of sin is death. The covenant of blood that God made with Adam and Eve in the garden when he made the clothes for them. The bloodshed for sin, the atoning work of blood, seen throughout the Old Testament, seen through the blood of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, and that blood covers our sin, and God says, I forgive you, and God doesn't bring it up. You know who brings it up? Satan. Satan brings up your past, doesn't he? Satan brings up your faults. Satan reminds you of how foolish you were, or how bad this thing was that you did. I know in my own life, many years ago, I did something to somebody by mistake. It was an accident. And I felt horrible about it. And this person, I talked to them, and they said they forgave me. And over all the years since, they've never once brought it back up. But you know what? Satan kept bringing it back up to me. Whenever I'd see him, I'd go, oh, I really hope that they forgave me. I really hope that they, you know, they never brought it back up again. It didn't affect our, you know, our friendship. It didn't, you know, it was wonderful. To receive forgiveness is a great thing, isn't it? To receive the forgiveness is a great thing. To be freed from something, to be pardoned from something that you owe. What a freedom that is. What a joy that is. Go with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 is a great chapter in the context. I would encourage you to go through and read it so you can get the full context of today's text. Talking about if you have a brother that's sinning, you go and you rebuke them. You tell them, hey, what you're doing is wrong. And that then introduces the fine line, the balancing act between discipline and forgiveness. It's like that truth and love thing. They are both there. We can forgive for the acts that have been done. And we see this with our children. Our children do something either intentional, called rebellion, or they do something accidental or out of ignorance. And we can forgive them, but yet also then teach them there is the consequence. We see this in David's life. When David sinned, and we looked at this last week with repentance, we saw his prayer in Psalms chapter 51. Right? My sin, my iniquity. He took ownership over what he did. He called upon the mercy of God and God's loving kindness to forgive him. But we know in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we know that God said, David, you will not die for your sin. I've forgiven your sin. Oh, thank you. But there's still consequences for your sin. This boy is going to die. So there's that balancing act between I forgive you for what you did, I pardon you, but wait a minute, I need to teach you, I need to correct this behavior because what you did was wrong. Okay? So the context of Matthew 18 is just great in understanding this balancing act. And so Peter, the disciple Peter, had this question to the Lord, and he said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? This is a great, great question, isn't it? How many times should I forgive somebody when they continually do something wrong? And again, the context is going back to what Jesus said about, you know, if you see your brother in sin, you go to him, you correct him, and if he doesn't respond, this is what you need to do. And so Peter's saying, well, okay, if I'm doing this, how many times should I forgive him? And he throws out a suggestion, how about 7 times? Peter's pretty graceful. Some of us would say, how about twice? You know, I'll forgive you 2 times, you know. Well, what's that whole phrase, you know, if it happens to me once, shame on me or shame on you and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's like, that's what we do. And so Jesus' response, verse 22, says, I do not say to you up to 7 times. Peter's like, oh, okay, good, not 7. Maybe it's only once. And Jesus says, but up to 70 times 7. Verse 23. So Jesus answers the question, and now he's going to give a parable to teach his answer. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, which is about, let me make sure this is right, 60,000 denarii, I believe. So yeah, 6,000 denarii. This makes sense for you in a second, so you can understand. So he owes him 10,000 talents or 6,000 denarii. But as he was not able to pay, verse 25, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will repay you all. Look closely to how the master responds, verse 27. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. So the master didn't say, well, that's a good deal. I'll put you in prison until you can pay off your debt. No, he released him. He pardoned him. He let go of the claim that he was owed as the master. Verse 28, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. So now you see the difference in the amount that was forgiven. The first servant was 6,000 denarii. And now this, he finds his buddy who owes him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you all. This is the same phrase that this first servant said to the master. Verse 30, and he would not, but he went and threw him into prison till he had paid the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servants, just as I have pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers till he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother and his trespasses, or forgive his brother his trespasses. Three parts to the story. The first part is the introduction that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. There's a master, there's a person in charge, and he's calling up accounts. Brings in the servant, and he's people paying him back. The servant owed a lot of money. In our English phrase, and I'm not trying to be funny here, this would be like the slang for our English of a zillion dollars. This man owed a zillion dollars. You got 1 denarii for 1 day's work, 6,000 days of work, a zillion dollars. I mean, this amount that was just way beyond his ability to pay it back. This guy repents. We talked about this last week. He repents. He begs for mercy. And we see a picture of God in this master. He had compassion. He had pity on. He was moved in his loving kindness and his mercy. He had the ability to forgive the debt. This guy was trying to make a deal. If you just give me more time, I just need more time. I just need more time. We see that in the movies, don't we? When somebody owes somebody money, they say, you got my money? Oh, I just need more time. You ain't got no more time. You know, they just go, oh, tough guys, you know, no mercy. No forgiveness. You owe me the money. But we see in God as the master of the story, having mercy, having compassion, to forgive a zillion-dollar debt. Now the servant gets up, and in his joy and his excitement, he leaves. He's like, wow, not only do I not have to pay it back, but he just like forgave the whole thing. Incredible. And he goes out and he sees one of his friends that owes him, you know, 100 denarii, or peanuts would be our English phrase for this illustration. He owes me peanuts. He owes me a few pennies. He owes me nothing. But with violence and vengeance, he grabs him by the throat. Give me the money. You owe me the money. I just need more time. No, we can't have more time. Throws him in prison. And then the third part is when the master says, wait a minute. You've missed the whole point. I forgave you what you owed me, which there's no way you could pay me back. How dare you not forgive your fellow servant that owes you a few pennies? We need to take verses 34 very serious. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him, verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive. This should strike at the core of your being. God is a loving God. God is gracious. God is forgiving. Yes, yes. And you've received that. And now he expects, he commands you and I to walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. You and I decide if we're going to forgive somebody what they have done. Forgiveness is not saying what happened was okay, or that it was right, or that it was good. Forgiveness is not saying that at all. Forgiveness is saying that I forgive, I let go, I release, I pardon. Forgiveness is not easy. Amen. Forgiveness is easy with people that we don't know very well. We're walking in the grocery store, somebody bumps our car. Oh, I'm sorry. It's okay. No big deal. We're not going to chase him down, although in road rage it happens sometimes. We hear stories. Somebody cuts you off. I'm going to get him. You know, you got the little fish sticker in the back of the windows. They're chasing people around town. You know, it's just like, no, it's not. I think God has forgiven us from our eternal unrighteousness and given to us eternal righteousness, and we chase some guy down on the street because he's a crazy driver. Forgiveness is not easy. It is something you cannot do in your own strength. You cannot forgive people in your own strength. And typically, the hardest people to forgive are the people that are the closest to you. Family, friends, coworkers, people that you have a relationship, people that you trust, people that you care about, and then all of a sudden this thing happens, and now you have a choice to make whether or not you will choose to forgive that person. It is a command of God. I don't care if you feel like it. I don't feel like forgiving them. I don't care what you feel like. God doesn't care what you feel like. God says, how do you think I felt when I was bearing your unrighteousness on the cross? And I have forgiven you zillions of debts, and you won't forgive this person for this one thing that happened. Not that what happened was right or okay or good, and maybe you have every right to be mad, but will you forgive? Will you choose to forgive? Forgiveness does not erase your memory. Forgiveness does not erase your memory. You may remember what happened for the rest of your life. We use this illustration. I pick up my friend Joshua. Joshua had a baseball bat, and he came in and hit me with that baseball bat, and he broke my arm. I could and I should forgive him for hitting me with that baseball bat. But if I have to have surgery and now there's a scar on my arm, I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life. And when I see Joshua the next time, if I've really forgiven him, you know, I might cautiously walk up to him and, hey, Josh, you know, it's okay. And Josh, as a man who's repented, he would probably feel the way that we feel at times. Oh, I hope Jason doesn't bring it up. It was a bad day. I didn't really, you know. And we could kind of get along and all that kind of stuff, and we it could be good. But if I see Joshua pulling out a baseball bat, I'm probably going to walk away. Doesn't mean I haven't forgiven him. Walk in wisdom, as some would say. That's called reconciliation. That's separate from forgiveness. Reconciliation is something that takes place when two people are at the same point, at the same moment, to be reconciled back together. And that's for a different sermon. But not next week. Reconciliation Unleashed. I don't know. Whenever we forgive somebody, I'm not saying that Josh, it was okay that you hit me with the baseball bat. you know, I know you didn't really mean it. And even though it hurt, and even though I lost money because I was out of work and I had to go get surgery and I was laid up and I lost doctor bills, it's okay. It's no, 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 no. And so many people, in man's view of what forgiveness is, we just have all these things that are just been mistaught and mistaught even in the church about what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is a decision that you make. And listen closely. You may have to make that decision more than once. Because here's what will happen. I will choose to forgive Josh, and it's settled. I've done it. I've forgiven him in my heart, not just with my lips. Whether or not I tell him or not, that's a different, that does not involve all forgiveness. You might need to forgive somebody who's passed away. Maybe there's somebody that's hurt you and you need to forgive them today. You can't go and tell them, I forgive you. So that's a different part of it. But you can say, I forgive, and in your heart, I forgive Josh. Boom. 3 days later, my arm's hurting. I have a memory of what happened, and all those feelings come back up. So guess what I get to do today? I get to say, no, I chose to forgive, and I continue to choose to forgive. I will not hold that against Josh. I will not bring that up. I will not talk about it. It is done. I have released him. I have pardoned him. I hold no claim against him. That's what forgiveness is. I may remember it. I may still have the scar from it. It may be a deep wound. I may have a right to be mad in the natural. But because of the command of God, I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive because Jesus Christ forgave me so much more than what anybody else has ever done to me. My offense to God is so much greater than any offense done to me. So this is true for marriages. You know, I know sometimes the husband can do things wrong. Or at least in my house, the husband can do things wrong. And my wife needs to walk in forgiveness. I like this side better. But it's that constant. But if she's like, oh, I'm not going to forgive him. He's done this 1,000 times. I've had it. Then she's choosing not to forgive. What if God did that to us? Look how many times Jason's done that. I'm not going to know. 70 times 7 to the infinite number. He's reached that number. When Jesus said 70 times 7 or 77 times 7, some translations are different. It is, if you go back to Cain, if you go back to Genesis, I think it's chapter 14 or chapter 12, there's that whole thing. I'm going to take vengeance of, you know, I'm going to take vengeance 7 times. And what Jesus is saying is there's an infinite number. If people will come to you and ask for forgiveness, true repentance, like we talked about last week, then you are obligated to forgive. Forgive the debt. Forgive the debt. What happens if they don't come to me, Pastor? I'll forgive if they come to me, but they ain't going to come to me. Then what do I do? Well, you forgive. You let go. You let go. And oh, when forgiveness is unleashed in a life, it brings so much freedom. Because unforgiveness is bitterness, bitterness, hatred, anger, murder. It is a slippery slope that leads nowhere but to death and destruction and bondage and depression. All these horrible things that we experience. But there's freedom when forgiveness is received. And there's freedom when forgiveness is given. Some have said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping the other person dies. Well, I'm not going to forgive them. They deserve for me not to forgive them. You know what? They could care less. Well, no matter me, they probably don't even know that they've even offended you. That doesn't affect them. Forgive? I don't care. Whatever you want to do. There's a story of a man that we know. He's done some teaching here in the past, and he's a pastor out in California. And he had another pastor in town that was saying some horrible things about him. He had a right to be mad in the natural. This friend of ours, and he began to deal with this and suffer through this? How do I forgive? And all, and here's another pastor that's just bad mouthing me to my people and into the church and to the community. And none of it's true. It's all lies. And he began to experience this chronic back pain, this constant back pain. And no matter what he did, it was getting worse and worse and worse. And months and months and months go by. It's about a year goes by. And finally, God says, you need to forgive this man. And that's a process. When God tells you you need to forgive somebody that's really hurt you, that's a process. How do I forgive? Can I forgive? What does this look like? And going through that process, he finally set up a meeting to meet with that other pastor to have lunch together. And he sat down across from the table with this other pastor and said, here, I need you to know, I forgive you. He repented of whatever he had done, our friend did. And he then said, yeah, I forgive you. The other pastor looked at him in the eyes and said, I don't care. You don't forgive me. You're a loser. You never amount to anything. You're not a very good pastor. And started ripping him up one side and back down the other side. Forgiveness does not say, I need to sit here and listen to this. Forgiveness says, I forgive you. I release you. He says, I'm sorry you feel that way. He got up and walked away, left him there. But when he walked out of that door, out of that cafeteria, he walked out a free man on the inside. You know what? No back pain since then. The unforgiveness was causing pain within his body. Depression, not always, but can be a result of unforgiveness, bitterness, that anxiety that takes place in a person's life because of this unforgiveness towards this thing, towards this person. And the freedom that God has given to us through Jesus Christ, because we have a merciful, loving, a master, a king, a God who says, I give you my forgiveness. I pour it out upon you. And then we are expected and commanded to then walk out that forgiveness to people that offended us. As difficult as it may be, as hard as it may seem, it is something that you and I are commanded to do. Let's look at Mark chapter 11. My pastor friend now he travels all over the country. In fact, travels all over the world to different countries, and he teaches material called Healing the Heart. Healing the Heart. And it's material that I use in meeting with people about how to heal the heart, how to allow God to come in and bring healing to the heart. And so God took that horrible event in his life, but because of his obedience to that, God was able to turn it into a good thing, and now is allowing that message to be shared throughout the country. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. When you stand praying, this morning when we had worship, you know, our hands are lifted high, and this is, it's fun, it's good, you know, just, and but if you've got anything against anybody, you need to forgive. It's not an emotion. If you don't feel like it, doesn't matter. It is a command. Forgive him, continue on verse 25, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. These verses are heavy verses. This is the simplicity of the gospel. God has forgiven you. Now you need to go walk in forgiveness. But this is like a 300 level course, because this is serious stuff. This is life application. This is something that we can walk out of here today and say, I am choosing to forgive that person, whether they deserve it or not. They don't deserve it. I understand. Will you forgive? But you don't know what they did. It was hurtful. I understand. But will you forgive? But you don't get it. I understand. But will you forgive? That's the question that is facing each and every one of us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We looked at this a few months ago, I guess now, as we were in Ephesians. But just to remind you of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Go to Colossians chapter 3. I want you to read these so you know I'm not making this up. Because some of you this morning are saying, well, I'm not going to forgive. This is too hard. I want you to see it. It's in the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. This is a command. You also must do. As Christ has forgiven you, that's what you need to do for forgiveness to be unleashed in our life. The last one I want us to look at is 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. If you have your pen out, you can write out a couple of verses I'll give to you. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Proverbs 10, 12 follows the thought of 1 Peter. And it states, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. Hatred stirs up strife. Hatred stirs that up. I don't like that person. They offended me. I'm mad. So I'm going to stir up strife. I'm going to start gossiping. I'm going to start spreading lies. I'm going to start stirring up dissension. But love covers sin. Husband and wife. I love you, honey. I love you too. Then walk in forgiveness. Because love covers a multitude of sin. You can write down Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Matthew 6, 14. If you forgive, basically, it says, if you forgive, God will forgive you. So the question you and I are faced with this morning is simple, is simply this. Is there anybody in your life that you need to forgive? In a moment, we're going to ask God to show us that. We don't need to go searching. Again, this isn't trying to go stir up something in your life. If you've forgiven somebody, then you've forgiven them. Case is closed. We're not trying to pry up stuff or make something there or whatever. But we're going to ask God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, who is our counselor, to bring to our mind if there is anybody that we need to forgive. And if He does that, then you and I have a choice. Will I choose to forgive? We're going to close this morning by having communion so that we can be reminded of the gracious, merciful, loving, compassionate God that we serve, who has forgiven us of our sin. But let's not be religious. Let's not be people that would come forward and take of the bread and the juice and saying, thank you, Jesus, for the forgiveness that you've given to me, if we're still holding on to unforgiveness in our life. How dare we do that? We're just like, if we were to do that, we would be just like the servant in Jesus' parable. The quote on your sheet from Thomas Fuller says, he that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he must pass himself, for every man has need to be forgiven. And I know it's hard to forgive. I know it's hard. We've all been there. We've all been hurt. We've all been offended. We've all had rights that have been violated. And it's hard. But when we look at that offense, when we look at that pain, as difficult as it is, in light of the cross, in light of what Jesus has done for me, now He has forgiven me of my sins, then we too, as God has forgiven us, so we must forgive those that have trespassed or sinned against us. There's a quote that says, to be forgiven is to be freed and empowered to forgive. To be forgiven is to be freed and empowered to forgive. Will you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? I'll ask for HJ to come up as a HJ serves on the board. We're going to pray over the elements, but before we do, with your eyes closed, in a moment of being vulnerable before God, we ask you, Father, to send your Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, who is our counselor. And we ask you, God, to bring to our mind if there is anybody that we need to forgive, if there is anybody that has done us wrong and we haven't forgiven them, we would ask that today you would come and bring that to our mind. Bring it, speak it to our hearts. And as you do that, Lord, we choose to forgive this morning. Not to be hearers only of the word, but to be doers of what you've told us today. And that is the need to forgive. If anybody comes to your mind this morning, just between you and God, would you choose to forgive? Would you choose to forgive right now that person? It's a decision. It's a decision. Father, we say thank you for the elements that we are going to receive this morning, that we will hold in our hands the evidence, Lord, of your forgiveness poured out for us, the bread that represents your body that was broken for us, and the blood, which is the blood of the new covenant that we have received through Jesus Christ. That this morning we can come into the presence of a holy God and not be destroyed because you have forgiven us this morning. Now, Lord, may we not receive communion this morning, Lord, if we have unforgiveness in our own life. May we search our lives as you tell us to do in Corinthians. We'd examine our own lives. We would judge ourselves so that we will not be judged. We say thank you for the cross. We say thank you for the forgiveness of sins that you've given to us. And Lord, may you allow that forgiveness to be unleashed through our lives to anybody who has offended us, done us wrong, brought pain to us. Lord, we ask for a great move of your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You do not need to be a member of our church to receive communion, but the Bible says you do need to be a believer in Jesus Christ. This is for the Christian. This is for the follower of Christ that has received the work of Jesus on the cross. So we'll stand here in the middle. When you're ready, you can just come down the middle aisle and take the elements and then go back around the outside and take it back to your seat. You can spend some time in prayer. We don't want to just rush through this. You spend some time in prayer. If you want, maybe you're here with somebody that you need to ask them to forgive you, or you need to forgive them, and just let the Word of God do what He wants to do in us, and then I'll close this out after that. So. Father God, this morning we just say thank you for just a wonderful time we've had. Thank you for reminding us of the sins that you have forgiven us through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We say thank you for reminding us this morning that you are a gracious, loving God, as the Master was in the parable that we looked at. You have forgiven us a debt that we couldn't pay. It was too great for us. We were unable in our own efforts to pay that off. But because of your compassion, because of your mercy and your grace, you provided a way through Jesus Christ for all of our sins to be forgiven. That you have released us, you have pardoned us from the guilt. Lord, your forgiveness doesn't say that what we've done was right. You still say it was wrong. But you've forgiven us, and you've released us from your wrath that will be poured out on the unrighteous. And we rejoice in that, God. We rejoice this morning. Our hearts should be lifted up this morning. Our spirit should be set free this morning from that reality. And now, Lord, we ask that we would be a people that would walk in forgiveness to those who have hurt us. That we would take those offenses done to us and throw them as far as the east is from the west. That we would not bring them up anymore because we've chosen to forgive. Lord, that we would let love cover those sins. Lord, we choose to forgive today. And tomorrow morning when we wake up, Thursday afternoon when we're reminded about some pain or something, God, we would continue to stand by this decision that we've made today. I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. I will not talk about it anymore. I will not hold it over their head anymore. I will release them. And I forgive. And I move forward. Lord, you have forgiven us. May we be obedient to your word to forgive those that have hurt us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.